आप सुन रहे हैं रेडियो रवीश।
नमस्कार, मैं रवीश कुमार। दिस पॉडकास्ट हैज बीन जनरेटेड बाय आर्टिफिशियल इंटेलिजेंस। द वॉइस यू विल नाउ हियर इज नॉट माइंड बट जनरेटेड बाय अ मशीन। वी आर ट्राइंग टू रीच न्यू ऑडियंसेस एंड दस मेकिंग यूज ऑफ व्हाट एआई हैज टू ऑफर। देयर माइट बी सम ट्रांसलेशन रिलेटेड इनएक्यूरेसीज। इन दैट केस प्लीज रेफर टू आवर मेन वीडियो।
द बीजेपी मैनिफेस्टो हैज बीन रिलीज्ड। नमस्कार, आई एम रवीश कुमार। The BJP's manifesto is now available for review. Upon reading it, young voters will have to decide whether they prefer immediate employment or the vision of a developed India by 2047. Do they want jobs or dreams? And if dreams, do they want the dreams of today or those projected 23 years into the future? In times of unemployment, dreams can be comforting. If someone fails to provide a job but offers the dream of one, it can still seem appealing. Young Indian voters, who are captivated by religious fervor and the allure of a strong nation, might find employment opportunities in the BJP's manifesto. It doesn't mention government jobs directly but talks about a law to prevent exam paper leaks, a measure the central government considered in its ninth year. Despite this, leaks occurred in UP exams. The manifesto, referred to as the Sankalp Patra, opts for the term employment opportunities rather than jobs, specifically targeting the youth. Unlike the Congress and RJD, there is no promise of 1 crore jobs. The BJP had promised 2 crore jobs in 2014, but this is not reiterated in the current manifesto. Conversely, the finance minister criticizes the opposition for lacking concrete and reliable employment data. The Modi government has been unable to establish a system in 10 years that could provide transparent employment data, yet it accuses the opposition of having unreliable data. The manifesto does not commit to creating a concrete system for counting employment. The manifesto presents grand visions of development, including making India's economy the world's third largest, but does not specify the expected employment generation from this growth. It speaks only of opportunities. The BJP should have clearly stated how much employment was generated by initiatives like Skill India, Smart City, PM Vishwakarma, and Mudra over the last 10 years. The manifesto claims that the government has recruited lakhs of youth in government jobs through transparent examinations, yet it fails to provide exact figures. The Prime Minister's statement should be carefully noted by the youth. He suggests that the opportunities created will exceed the youth's imagination. The BJP aims to make India a global hub in various emerging sectors, promising that India will soon be a leader in green energy, pharmaceuticals, electronics, automobiles, semiconductors, innovation, legal insurance, and commercial contracting. It envisions India becoming a major economic center with significant global capability, technology, and engineering centers, and a powerhouse in space exploration. This, according to the manifesto, will open unimaginable opportunities for Indian youth. The manifesto introduces the concept of India becoming a hub in various sectors, yet it remains unclear when these opportunities will translate into actual employment. An account of employment in the manufacturing sector over the last 10 years is notably absent, replaced instead with broad dreams. Each party's manifesto reflects its perspective on issues. The BJP's manifesto suggests a lack of concern over the youth's employment anxieties. In contrast, parties like Congress, Sulphur Monophosphide, Trinamool Congress, and RJD are focusing their campaigns on employment issues. The state of employment in India under Modi's rule, characterized by low-paying jobs, is well known. However, mainstream media, often referred to as Godi media, may not provide such detailed insights, as its project is to keep the unemployed distracted. India has been misled to the point where it struggles to discern right from wrong. Recent reports on employment have shed light on some concerning statistics. A report by Abhishek Wagmare on data for India.com reveals that 55% of people in China hold salaried jobs, compared to only 20% in India. In Sri Lanka, the figure is 58%, while in America, it exceeds 90%. Salaried jobs are those in which individuals receive a regular monthly salary, typically found in manufacturing, health, business, technology, and education sectors. Waghmare points out that not all salaried jobs in India are equal. Only 42% of salaried workers have written contracts, and merely 53% are entitled to paid leave, meaning they receive their salary during their time off. The others are not afforded this benefit, with salary deductions for any leave taken. The situation regarding social security is similarly dire. Despite the bravado some may display, the stark reality is that the quality of jobs in India is subpar, with many jobs offering low salaries for excessive work. This is why the government does not independently collect or publish data on employment, allowing it to dismiss surveys and studies without providing accurate information. Waghmare's report also states that India's workforce comprises 58 crore people, of which 56 crore are employed and 2 crore are unemployed. The agricultural sector still employs nearly half of the workforce, with 26 crore people engaged in farming, a sector for which the BJP has yet to guarantee minimum support prices, MSP, despite numerous protests. The industry and service sectors employ 14 crore and 16 crore people, respectively. Of those leaving farming, 7.5 crore have found employment in construction and 6.5 crore in manufacturing. This explains why the Prime Minister seldom discusses employment openly. For instance, in a speech in Rishikesh, he highlighted tourism and startups as sources of employment, yet the government has failed to provide data on job creation in these new sectors. A March 2024 Inc. 42 survey reported that 130 startups have laid off people since 2022, with startup funding dropping to its lowest in 7 years. The BJP has been avoiding the issue of job counting since 2019, lacking a transparent system for collecting employment data across sectors. If the Modi government had positive employment data to show, it would surely have been prominently featured in all forms of media. The International Labour Organization and the Institute for Human Development's India Unemployment Report highlights that 83% of India's unemployed are youth. In 2000, 35% of unemployed youth had education up to the intermediate level. By 2022, this figure had risen to 65.7%, indicating a significant increase in unemployment among those with intermediate education. Data from the Centre for Monitoring Indian Economy in January shows that unemployment among youth increased in the October-December 2023 quarter, particularly among those aged 20 to 34 years. The youth are now being promised a developed India by 2047, reminiscent of the unfulfilled promise to farmers of doubling their income by 2022. Unemployment among 25-29-year-olds has reached a 42-month high. Unemployment has been observed among the youth aged 30-34 over the past 30 months. With the current state of employment offering only low-paying jobs, one must question how poverty is being eradicated and whose poverty is being addressed. Who, then, is truly content in today's India? The Modi government has consistently spoken about the welfare of the poor over the last decade, yet it appears that the rich have only grown wealthier. Previously, accusations of favoring the affluent were directed solely at the Congress, but now numerous substantial studies demonstrate that billionaires are thriving under Modi's administration. The World Inequality Lab at the Paris School of Economics has revealed that India currently has the highest level of inequality in the world. A report titled, Income and Wealth Inequality in India, 1922-2023, The Rise of the Billionaire Raj, was prepared by Nitin Bharti, Lucas Chancel, Anmol Somachi, and Nobel Prize-winning economist Thomas Piketty. When this report on inequality was released, it faced criticism from government-supporting economists. However, today's Indian Express has addressed these criticisms, with the authors of the inequality report dismissing the critiques as baseless and affirming the accuracy of their findings. It's not merely the rich who dominate in India, but the billionaires, whose wealth and property are increasing exponentially. After independence, inequality was on a decline, but it surged dramatically after 2000. Today, inequality under Modi's rule surpasses even that of the British era, meaning the poor have become poorer while the rich have grown richer. If we compare the wealth of 70% of the population to that of the top 1%, the latter holds more wealth. Rahul Gandhi highlighted, the 22 richest people in India possess as much wealth as 70 crore people. On one side, there are 70 crore people, including those from backward classes, Dalits, tribals, and the poor general caste, and on the other, there are 22 individuals. What are these 70 crore people demanding? Farmers seek MSP, the youth demand employment, and women pled for protection from inflation. Yet, no one is listening. Gandhi consistently argues that this government favors the wealthy, directing all business to a select few. This is not a new observation. Oxfam's reports have long indicated that the income of the average Indian is not increasing but decreasing, with wealth accumulating among the top 1% of the population. This signifies a terrifying increase in inequality and poverty within society. According to the Oxfam report released in April 2023, 5% of people in India own 60% of the country's wealth. The report suggests that imposing even a 2% tax on this wealth could fund food for Indians suffering from malnutrition for 3 years. Government data from the Periodic Labour Force Survey, PLFS, for 2019-20 shows that anyone earning 25,000 rupees a month falls within the top 10% of earners in the country, highlighting the dire state of income for most Indians. Despite this, India is sold the dream of becoming the third largest economy. Thomas Piketty, Lucas Chancel, Anmol Somachi, and Nitin Bharati have reported that in 2022-23, 22.6% of the national income in India was earned by just 1% of the population. This means that a significant portion of the wealth generated by our collective efforts goes to a mere 1%. In 2022-23, the top 1% of people in India held 40.1% of the country's wealth, a historically high figure. In 1961, only 13% of the income went to the top 1%, showing a stark increase in inequality. The Paris School of Economics has stated that India is ruled by billionaires. According to their report, the top 1% of people in India have accumulated more wealth than in any other country in the world, indicating that inequality in India is significantly higher than in other countries. Last week, Mint reported that the salaries of company source have increased by an average of 40% over the last 4 years, according to a survey by Deloitte. The average income of a CEO, compared to the period before COVID, has increased by 40%, reaching Rs 13.8 crore in 2024. This report analyzed 400 companies and revealed that the number of source earning more than Rs 20 crore has doubled in the last 4 years. Contrast this with a report published in the Economics Times in December 2023 by Alek Andre and Priyanka Sav. After analyzing companies in the Nifty 500, they found that over the last 5 years, labor costs in IT and manufacturing companies have either decreased or remained the same. Wages and salaries have not increased in proportion to inflation. More employees are taking loans to meet expenses, leading to an increase in unsecured loans. This indicates that for most employees, salary increases have halted, with only those at the top seeing their incomes rise. Furthermore, if you are voting based on religion or temples, you are overlooking these economic issues. Questions should be raised about why, when companies claim to lack funds, they can still donate hundreds of crores to the BJP, or how a political party has collected donations of about 13,000 crores from unknown sources. In today's Indian Express, Nitin Bharati, Lucas Chancel, Anmol Somachi, and Nobel Prize winner in economics Thomas Piketty, based on government survey data, have shown that between 2015-16 and 2020-21, the income of the bottom 50% of the population has drastically fallen from 14.4% to 9.8%. This highlights the dire economic condition of the Indian populace, stripped of religious and political pride. The Modi government has emphasized mudra loans and self-employment as solutions to unemployment. However, a report by J.T. Ghosh and C.P. Chandrasekhar in Hindu Business Line in April 2023 stated that those in self-employment are not working in their preferred fields but out of necessity, earning barely enough to survive. J.T. Ghosh's statement in the report emphasizes that the real issue is not just employment but the stagnating income of those employed, leading to decreased savings. Reserve Bank data from September 2023 indicates that household savings in the financial year 2023 were the lowest in 50 years, dropping from 7.2% of GDP in 2022 to 5.1% in 2023. According to PLFS 2022-23, 24.6% of the rural workforce earns less than ₹100 a day, and 10% of the urban workforce is in a similar situation, underscoring the widespread economic hardship. The workforce, that is, people working in cities, earns less than ₹100. Santosh Mehrotra has noted in his article that during the period from 2020 to 2023, in just 3 years, 5 crore people in rural areas have joined the category of unpaid family workers. Additionally, 50 lakh people in urban areas have also joined this category. The leader is aware that your pocket is empty and your face is downcast, so he fills you with pride in the name of religion, ensuring you are filled with pride. Listen to the Prime Minister, today, look at the direction of the country, and look at the language of the Congress. Today, India's stature and respect are increasing in the world. Is it increasing or not? Is India's name being recognized in the world or not? Is India's pride growing or not? Does the world look at every Indian with pride or not? The government claims that 14 crore families have been connected with the tap water scheme. More than 34 crore people have received the Ayushman Bharat card. 50 crore people have Jan Dhan accounts. This is referred to as the financial inclusion scheme. However, if there is no money in people's accounts, no savings from monthly earnings, then does financial inclusion truly occur just by opening a bank account? There is a tally of so many schemes, yet there is no count of employment, no data on people's income, and no image that shows the real situation. I hope you are proudly steadfast. Stay steadfast, for we have to remain so until 2047 and manage with that. Namaskar, I am Ravish Kumar.